to be sitting in front of Giriraj Govardhan and my esteemed God brothers and God sisters and senior devotees is my fortune, and to be speaking about Krishna in their presence is my fortune, and also it is my need to express my requirement for all their blessings and mercies so I can speak for the pleasure of the devotees. This particular chapter that we're going to speak from is entitled, it has a double title, Arjuna Kidnaps Subhadra. This is the 86th chapter of the 10th canto. And the second part of the title is Krishna Blesses His Devotees. The first part where Arjuna kidnaps Subhadra is a very exciting part. But it is not yet the substance, in one sense, of the chapter, which we've entitled Krishna's Mysterious Journey to Janakpur. Here it is titled Krishna Blesses His Devotees, because in that part, the second part, which will begin tomorrow, Krishna will bless his devotees with his presence and his association. And we will be able to hear from their mouths the qualities of Krishna. In this first part, which is the first 12 verses of the 86th chapter, there's an exciting pastime that takes place, and Krishna, he plays a minor part. But of course, Krishna never plays a minor part. His part is always major. But he pushes forward his devotee, Arjuna. And this chapter, in this section, the first 12 verses, as well as the entirety of the chapter, we're going to be hearing of the qualities of Krishna, both revealed by Krishna's activities, the activities of Krishna's devotees, and also the words and prayers of the devotees of Krishna, and also the very words of Krishna himself, which will take place in the final section, the very end of this chapter. Now, this chapter is very special. We began to mention some of its speciality yesterday when we mentioned that it comes right after Krishna's visit to Kurukshetra, which reveals the heart of Srimati Radharani. Mahaprabhu uses that 82nd chapter of the 10th canto. He explains the Rath Yatra ceremony, or the Rath Yatra festival, through that. And in that, he reveals for the world, which had never been done before, only he could reveal that. He reveals exactly what Srimati Radharani's heart is like, and that is the heart of Vrindavan. And by revealing that, and by revealing the mentality of the Brijbasis, he reveals their qualities and the quality of their love for Krishna, because that is what Vrindavan is. It is love for Krishna, especially in the mood of, it is sprinkled everywhere with the mood of Srimati Radharani. And therefore Vrindavan is intense, but it is so sweet. It is irresistibly sweet. But the Bhagavatam in the 10th canto doesn't end in the 82nd chapter. There's the 83rd, 4th, and 5th chapter, which are very important. And then the 86th chapter comes, which we'll hear today. And then the Bhagavatam's 10th canto, Krishna's pastimes, begin to close. In the 87th chapter, what is the 87th chapter? The prayers of the personified Vedas. would show clearly that by the entirety of the Vedas, Vedascha Savar Aham Eva Vidyo, by the entirety of the Vedas, it is Krishna and the relationship of every soul with Krishna that is to be known. And in the 88th chapter, so the Vedas explain that. In the 88th chapter, there is the question that Maharaj Prickett asked just before his passing away. He asked, why is it, yasyaham anugrahami is the answer to the question, but why is it that Krishna's devotees sometimes have difficulties and Lord Shiva's devotees are so opulent? Why is it that Krishna then is the Supreme Lord and Lord Shiva is his servant only? And why is it that Lord Shiva's devotees are so opulent? So Maharaj Prickett asked that question, and Sukadev answers it by saying that Krishna's kindness is that he takes away from his devotees so they have no other shelter and they give themselves to him fully. Because when we see, when we hear the Bhagavatam after the 10th canto or towards the end of the 10th canto, in one sense it's like looking in a mirror. When you're driving a car, you look in a mirror to see what's behind you. And everything later in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, and indeed the 11th canto, is a backward glance to Braja that helps us understand Vrindavan still more clearly and the nature of the Brijbasi's love. So there, in the 88th chapter, the pastime of Vrikasura is explained after Yasyaham, showing how even Lord Shiva, who gives all benedictions to his devotees, he requires to take shelter of Krishna sometimes in a wonderful pastime. Lord Narayan saves Lord Shiva. And then in the 89th chapter, the 90th is the final one, in the 89th chapter, Bhrigu Muni goes to find out who amongst Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva is the Supreme Lord, and the conclusion is Vishnu. And then at the end of that chapter, in some remarkable commentaries by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it shows that not only is Vishnu the supreme of all supremes, but even above Mahavishnu, Karanadakshay Vishnu, there is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Shiva is taking shelter of Krishna. And even Mahavishnu is taking shelter, practically speaking, wants to have the darshan of Krishna. And then in the 90th chapter, there is a summary in several verses. There's a description of the queens of Dwarka's glorious love for Krishna, which is exemplified by Prembha Chitya, where they are with Krishna, and yet they experience separation from Krishna. It's an extremely high state of love. So that, and the summary of the tenth canto, the pastimes in a brief verse, and then the 10th canto ends. So these very, very powerful chapters are right at the end of the 10th canto. And here's this chapter, 87, 88, 89, 90, so powerful. And here's this chapter where Arjuna kidnaps Subhadra and Krishna blesses his devotees. What is the potency of this chapter? Why is it there? I found that before I had the fortune of studying this while teaching the 10th canto, I couldn't really remember what the chapter was about. It sort of vanishes. But then when I read it, as when we read any of the chapters of the Bhagavatam, the jewels that Srila Sukadeva Goswami and Srila Vyasadeva have hidden in there, they become polished and they sparkle. There are such wonderful instructions in this chapter, and we shall begin right now hearing not exactly an instruction in these first 12 verses, but in this pastime, what's going to be revealed is something about Krishna's relationship with his devotees. And the particular devotee that we're going to hear about Krishna's relationship with is Arjuna. And that quality of Krishna, that he will do anything for his devotees, is essential for us to assimilate into our consciousness. And all the qualities of Krishna that we shall hear about are essential for us to assimilate into our consciousness, because unless we understand this person, this Krishna, unless we understand how attractive he is, how reliable he is, and how he will do anything for his devotees, unless we have true realization and faith in that, how will we be brave enough to place ourselves fully under his care? Gotripte varanam tata. How will we be bold enough to actually surrender unto him unless we trust him and his nature? Otherwise, we will tend to give ourselves to Krishna and at the same time be holding back. And this tendency to simultaneously say yes and no to Krishna does not lead to a full giving of the heart to Krishna, and it will not lead us to Braja. So this type of hearing is required. Without further explanation, let us look at the first verse. Theoretically, everyone has a sheet that contains the verses, both the Sanskrit and the English. And today, for this chapter, and today we'll cover the Krishna willing, the first 12 verses. So, the king, Sri Raju Vatsa, Maharaj Prickett, is speaking, and he asks a question. Brahman veditum itchama swasaram Ramakrishnayo yato payema vijayo ya mamamsit pita mahi. So Maharaj Prickett, he asks, O Brahmana, Brahman viditum itchama. Viditum, I wish to know, itchama, I desire, I want to know, sasaram, Rama Krishnayo, the sister of Rama and Krishna, who is the grandmother of Maharaj Prickett. And that is Subhadra, as we call Lady Subhadra. There's Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna and Lady Subhadra. So how did the sister of Rama and Krishna, and in some references it describes how Subhadra Devi is the daughter of Devaki and Vasudev, who directly Krishna's full sister, and other references that I've seen describe her as the daughter of Rohini Devi and Vasudev, which would make her the sister of Balaram. In Bhagavatam here it describes her as the daughter of Vasudev and Devaki. So yato payema vijayo, how Vijayo is Arjuna. How did she marry Arjuna? She who is my pitamahi, who is my grandmother. How did she marry Arjuna, that great warrior? So that's the question. The translation of the verse, Maharaj Prickett said, O Brahmana, we would like to learn how Arjuna married Lord Balaram's and Lord Krishna's sister, who was my grandmother. In the purport here, the BBT purport, it describes how this was very difficult to do, because for Arjuna to marry Subhadra because Balaram already had planned her to marry Duryodhan. And when Arjuna saw Subhadra and heard that she was going to marry Duryodhan, who was so much opposed to the Pandavas, and she was so gorgeously beautiful, he decided, no, she is not going to marry Duryodhan. She is going to marry me. And Krishna said, yes. And actually, it was Krishna's idea. Immediately, when there's a good story going, there has to be some tension. Well, here's the immediate tension. Balaram has a different plan for Subhadra Devi than Krishna. But we already know whose plan is going to be carried out. Now, another point. So it was so difficult for this to happen because of Balaram's opposition to it and his other plan that Maharaj Prickett wanted to know how it was possible. And also, our acharyas explained, Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur explains how by this point, so close to the end of Krishna's pastimes, Maharaj Prickett, in the 10th canto, Maharaj Prickett is starting to feel anxiety and even fear. He's been hearing about Krishna for more than 6 days. And his time to leave the world is approaching. He is not afraid of leaving the world. And in the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, it's described how he left the world. And it is astounding. The general superficial understanding was that he was pierced by the bite of the snake. But no, that is not how he left the world. He fully withdrew his consciousness, his consciousness from the external, from the seeing, from the hearing of the world. And he just focused his consciousness on all that he had heard about Krishna. And he went completely internal, thinking about the pastimes of Krishna. And this is the benefit of the continuous hearing about Krishna and the continuous chanting about Krishna. Because if we don't hear about Krishna, how will we focus our consciousness on Krishna when it is time to leave the world? And it is going to happen to everyone, like it or not. Interesting also in the 12th canto, almost appearing callous, Sukadeva Goswami said, do you have any more questions? And Maharaj Prickett answered, no, I've been filled up by your words. And then Sukadeva, after being worshipped by Maharaj Prickett, stood up and walked away and left. He didn't wait even for the final event of Maharaj Prickett leaving. He stood up and walked away. And then Maharaj Prickett completely withdrew his consciousness and went internal. And thinking about Krishna, he left this world. And then the snake bird came and bit him and burned his body to ashes. And our acharyas say it was like the sun, not the sun that sometimes in the sky appears in the sky in the mornings here, but like the sun, the father's sun, burning the body of the father who has passed away. He had already gone. Filled with thoughts about Krishna, his beloved Lord, the Lord of his forefathers, the Lord of Braja. Having heard everything, he was full and didn't need any more instructions. So it was almost ending, this hearing about Krishna in the 10th canto, and he wanted to hear more. So therefore he was frightened, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, that it was going to end. The nectar pouring from the mouth of Srila Sukadeva Goswami would cease. and he wanted to hear more. So therefore, he asked about this question, to churn more. In the second and third verse, Sukadeva begins his answer. While traveling far and wide, visiting various holy places of pilgrimage, Arjuna came to Prabhakshetra, the place where later the Yadava dynasty fought and annihilated each other, and the place where Balaram and Krishna left. Arjuna came to Prabhash. There he heard that Lord Balaram intended to give his maternal cousin Subhadra to Duryodhana in marriage, and that no one else approved of this plan. Arjuna wanted to marry her himself, so he disguised himself as a renunciant, complete with Tridanda, and he went to Dwarka. This was during the Chaturmasya season, just at the prior to the beginning, right at the beginning of the Chaturmasya system. So, now, how one point that comes up here: why was Arjuna on pilgrimage? And this is described in the Mahabharata, in the Adiparva of Mahabharata, that when the Pandavas were in Indraprastha, they had, because they were all married to Draupadi, so to keep peace and make sure there wasn't any overstepping of the relationships with Draupadi, none of the Pandavas could approach Draupadi and talk to her while another of the Pandavas was alone with her. This was their rule. And if one of the Pandavas broke this rule, they would have to go to the forest for 1 year alone. So at one point, a Brahmana was in great anxiety, and he began to cry out to Arjuna, "Some thieves, some gundas are stealing away my cows. Protect me, protect my cows. Oh, Arjuna, do this immediately. You are the king, you are royalty, you are a kshatriya. Protect my cows, protect the property of a brahmana." And Arjuna said, "Yes, I will do this." And he went to get his weapons. But Yudhisthira and Draupadi was sitting right in the place where the weapons were. So he thought, "What am I going to do? I can't go in there. But I can't neglect the Brahmin's plea either. He has requested me to help him. I cannot say no. I am a Pandava prince." So he decided, "I will go in there. I will transgress our etiquette to protect the Brahmana, and then I will have to go to the forest for a year." He decided to uphold that principle of protection, protecting of those who are dependent. So important that was to him. So he went in and he chastised the thieves, and he came back and submitted himself to Yudhisthira. And Yudhisthira, of course, said, no, don't go to the forest. Don't go to the forest for a year. That rule is external, and here's a way around it." But Arjuna said, "But if we don't follow the principles of religion, what will be the, I'll keep our words, what will be the future?" So he went to the forest, and he was on pilgrimage. And during that time, he actually went to Manipur and got one wife of Ulupi, and he got another wife or of Chitrangadi, I think, and a third wife of Subhadra during that time. So here, as he was wandering around, Arjuna was wandering around, he heard about Subhadra, he saw Subhadra, and Krishna wanted Arjuna to marry Subhadra, his sister, because that would make their relationship tighter. So Krishna and he devised this plan that Arjuna, a warrior who was in the process of getting three wives, he was married to Draupadi, and he was dressed as a sannyasi, assume that vesh. So Arjuna, as a sannyasi, with a tree danda and everything, he went into Dwarka, and this is the fourth verse. He stayed there during the monsoon months, during the Chaturmasya, to fulfill his purpose. So when sannyasis adopt in Chaturmasya, they have a different purpose than Arjuna's purpose. Arjuna's purpose was to kidnap Subhadra, not very sannyas-like. And Lord Balaram and other residents of the city could not recognize Arjuna, and this was due to Krishna's Leela Shakti. Krishna's potency covers everyone. Even Lord Balaram. This also occurred during the Brahma Vimohana Leela, where Balaram could not understand how the boys and calves that were playing and they were hurting were actually not boys and calves. He couldn't understand that they were expansions of Krishna because of Krishna's potency. And the Bhagavatam, especially the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, describes that at some point in stages Krishna removed his maya, his yoga maya, and in stages, gradually, Balaram could understand these boys and calves are Krishna, actually. Otherwise, how could they be attracting so much affection from me and the cowherd men and the cows? Because no one but Krishna can attract so much affection. So Balaram and the other residents of Dwarka could not understand, due to Krishna's potencies, that in fact this powerful sannyasi was Arjuna. Balaram, our acharyas describe, couldn't understand, but he wanted to see. He too wants to experience these amazing pastimes of Krishna. So one day after the Chaturmasya was over, this is the fifth verse, Lord Balaram brought Arjuna as a sannyasi to his home as an invited dinner guest. This was just after the Chaturmasya was over. And Arjuna ate the food that the Lord respectfully offered him. Here's the purport. From the explanation of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, it is understood that Arjuna, in his sannyas role, had just finished the four-month vows of the rainy season and could now accept general invitations from householders. By this time, he had been living in Dwarka for 4 months, and everyone said, oh, there's this wonderful sannyasi living here. And Balaram wanted to gain his association and his blessings, so he invited him to his house, and he asked Subhadra, you serve this sannyasi and get his blessings? You personally serve him? Thus, no one would have suspected any unusual motive in his visiting Lord Balaram at this time. Now, on one level, this sounds like just a romance story. And it is a romance story, but it's not just a romance story. Because something about Krishna is going to be revealed and is already being revealed. And this quality of Krishna, that he does anything for the pleasure of his devotees. Bhakta vatsalya atma parjanta vadanyata. Fixes the devotee's consciousness upon Krishna. He will do anything for his devotees. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, or rather Srila Jiva Goswami, comments on this fifth verse as follows. That Balaram feared, he was afraid too, that this sannyasi would depart very soon. And therefore he invited him. In other words, he was completely bewildered by Krishna for the purpose of this pastime. Now in the sixth verse, there the sannyasi, Arjuna, saw the wonderful maiden Subhadra, who was enchanting to heroes. When he saw her, his eyes opened wide with delight, and his mind became agitated and absorbed in thoughts of her. This is the sannyasi, Arjuna. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, the Mahatim in the verse. So Pashyat Tatra Mahatim. So he saw there, Mahatim, this wonderful kanya, this wonderful young girl. Mahatim means she was mature and she was attractive to all heroes. She was attractive even to persons who were in control of their senses and their passion. This is the comment of Jiva Goswami. Such as Arjuna. And Arjuna became completely absorbed in thoughts about her. He was continuously thinking about her. She is the sister of Krishna. She is unlimitedly beautiful. Spiritually beautiful. And Arjuna became fully attracted to her. 7. And Arjuna himself was very attractive to women. And as soon as Subhadra saw him, she wanted to have him as her husband. This is a mysterious pastime. Here is a sannyasi who's taken sannyas, so to speak, just to marry Subhadra. And as soon as Subhadra sees him, she understands, oh, this is my husband. And she smiled bashfully and looked at him with sidelong glances out of the corner of her eye. And she fixed her heart and eyes upon him. She couldn't ultimately take her eyes off of him. She was just a young girl, very innocent, and trained how to serve, etc. Purport. As soon as she saw him, Subhadra knew that Arjuna was no sannyasi, but rather her destined consort. And Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is mysterious. This is in Krishna's Leela. In the Krishna book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada elaborates, Arjuna, the grandfather of Maharaj Prickett, was himself extraordinarily beautiful. And his bodily structure was very attractive to Subhadra. Subhadra also decided within her mind that she would accept only Arjuna as her husband. This is all going on under the plan of Krishna, an arrangement and instructions of Krishna. As a simple girl, she was smiling with great pleasure, looking at Arjuna. 8. Tam param samanudhyayan antaram prepsarajuna nalebe sham brahmachita kamenati bali yasha. Tam param samanudhyayan. On her, param only, he was meditating. Antaram prepsur. He was waiting for the right opportunity, Arjuna. Arjuna was simply meditating on her, waiting for the right opportunity. Nalebhe, he could not experience some, any peace, because of the depth of his meditation on Subhadra Devi. And Brahmachitta, his mind His chitta, his consciousness, his heart, his mind, brahmata, was bewildered or completely wavering. Kamena, due to his desire, ati bileshu, this strong desire. His mind could not be peaceful for a moment thinking about her. So here is the translation. Meditating only on her and waiting for the opportunity to take her away, Arjun had no peace. His heart trembled with passionate desire. Now, moving forward. Once, on the occasion of a great temple festival, so this was right after this point, right after Chaturmasya is over, there was a great temple festival in honor of the Supreme Lord. And Subhadra rode out of the fortress-like palace on a chariot, and she was surrounded by guards, escorted guards. And at that time, the mighty chariot warrior, Arjun, he took the opportunity, he got on his chariot, which was drawn by the horses of Krishna, and he took the opportunity and kidnapped her, and he took her upon his chariot. And Subhadra's parents and Krishna had actually sanctioned this. Srila Jiva Goswami said this was on the Uttana Ekadasi, basically when the Lord wakes up right after the Chaturmasya is completed. So he didn't waste a moment. Now, Arjuna was so powerful, and he had taken Subhadra Devi in the midst of the armed escorts, those who were assigned to protect this young maiden of the Yadu dynasty, of the Vrishni dynasty, of the Andaka dynasty. And he took up his arrows and his bows to protect, to defend himself, and to take her away. And he drove off the valiant fighters and palace guards who tried to block his way. As her relatives shouted in anger, he took Subhadra away just as a lion takes his prey from the midst of lesser animals. This was an insult to the Yadu dynasty. It doesn't seem so. Because he had his bows and his arrow and he was driving it's hard to drive a chariot and bows when you're... because they recognized it was Arjuna at this time. So immediately, now this is how it's described. I'll read the next verse and then we'll talk about how it's described in the Mahabharata. There's some details here, although there's no details here in the Bhagavatam. This was an insult to the Yadu dynasty. We are warriors, we are Kshatriyas, we are Krishna's family, and he has dared in our presence to kidnap Subhadra, our princess. How dare he do this? And look how he did it. He came disguised as a sannyasi, and we gave him all hospitality. And Balaram was saying, I invited him to my house, trusting that he was an honest sannyasi, and look what he does. And you may have heard that when Balaram gets angry, it's quite extreme. So when Balaram, this is the 11th verse, when Balaram heard of Subhadra's kidnapping, Lord Balaram became as disturbed as the ocean in the full moon. But Lord, we won't read that part yet. We'll just read about the disturbed part. Now, in the Mahabharata, it describes more details about that. This is quite interesting, and we'll hear some of Lord Balaram's mood. First of all, when Arjuna kidnapped Subhadra, the armed escorts, came into the city, and they had this big golden drum. And then it was a war drum when there was an emergency. And they began beating the drum loudly. And when the warriors of the Yadu dynasty, the Vishnu dynasty, the Andaka dynasty heard this drum, they immediately would come. Because there was an emergency, a danger. The city was being attacked. Or they had to go somewhere and attack and fight. The war drum was being sounded. And all the members, the Yadus, the Vrishnis, the Bhoja dynasty, the Andaka dynasty, they came to the assembly hall immediately. They dressed themselves in their armor. They readied their horses and chariots, and they came to the assembly hall, and they sat down on golden thrones. And when the armed escorts told them what Arjuna had done, they became furious, as if like someone slapping them in the face. Arjuna did this? Who does he think he is? Doesn't he know who we are? Yoke the chariots, bring the lances, bring our armor. And Balaram, who was right there, he had a double mood because Krishna was there. And he said, "What are you doing? Can't you see how Krishna is sitting silently? And you're all raging loudly and loudly, so loudly and angrily, and Krishna is sitting silently? He has the greatest mind. We should ask him his opinion. And then, as soon as we hear the opinion of Krishna, we should follow it." But then, the other side, the raging side, the full moon of Balaram, began to speak himself directly to Krishna. Now, read his words. He said, "My dear Krishna," he was angry, because he wanted to give Subhadra to Duryodhana also. So he said, "My dear Krishna, why do you remain seated? Why are you watching this in silence? Oh, infallible one, for your sake, we all honored Arjuna. But it seems he did not deserve this honor. He has a wicked mind, and he has disgraced his family. Indeed, what man anywhere, having eaten our food, he broke our dishes and still considers himself born of a noble family. Who would behave so rashly and inconsiderately, coming here to seek our friendship, seeking our help always, knowing how much we have done for him in the past, insulting us? He disregarded you. And he has stolen Subhadra by force, and thus he has taken death upon himself. How can I tolerate it, Govinda? He has put his foot on my head, which is like stepping upon a cobra. And today, I shall rid the earth of the Kauravas, the entire dynasty. I will not tolerate this offense from Arjuna." This was how the Mahabharata describes what is described very briefly in the Bhagavatam's. Lord Balaram became as disturbed as the ocean during the full moon. And everyone in the assembly became silent, waiting to hear how Krishna would respond. And Krishna said, "Arjuna actually did not commit an offense to our family. He holds us in the highest regard without a doubt. But I will tell you why Arjuna didn't offer gifts in return for Subhadra or seek to win her in the Swayamvara. Who would approve of giving away an innocent maiden as if she were a head of cattle? What man on earth would make a purchase? Like is the dowry, you give me this much money. And what man would make a purchase of his own offspring, beloved offspring? In my opinion, the son of Kunti saw all these discrepancies. And therefore, in accord with religious law, he has taken the initiative and carried away the girl in a Kshatriya way, in an honorable way, as a warrior should. He is noble. He simply took the initiative and carried her away. Who could possibly seek revenge against Arjuna, who took birth as the son of King Kunti Bhoja's daughter in the exalted dynasty of Bharat and Santanu? And then he said something to put some fear in the hearts of the other warriors. I do not see anyone in all the worlds with the courage and prowess to defeat Arjuna. And this includes Indra and Lord Shiva. Oh, worthy colleagues, what a chariot he has. And it is yoked with my horses. No one can defeat Arjuna because Krishna empowers Arjuna. And when Krishna leaves, as described in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, Arjuna is defeated. Krishna is indicating that this is his desire. And Krishna's desire will always be fulfilled. My conclusion is that he is noble from a perfect family and so exalted and powerful, and we should be happy that Subhadra is in that family, married to Arjuna. And we should run after Arjuna and in a mood of joyful celebration persuade him to return. For if Arjuna defeats all of you in a violent encounter by his own strength, returns to the city, your reputations will be ruined instantly. But there is no defeat in reconciliation. So all the members of the Yadu dynasty became happy because Balaram had also said, you listen to Krishna, and he also listened to Krishna. The Bhagavatam here says that Krishna, to cool Balaram down, grabbed hold of his lotus feet, Balaram's feet. They pacified Balaram by explaining the matter. And it is also, some devotees explain that when Balaram saw that Subhadra was driving the chariot, he understood it was also Subhadra's desire, so therefore he became peaceful. Krishna had grabbed the feet of Balaram, who is unstoppable and all-powerful. And then Lord Balaram happily sent the bride and groom very valuable wedding gifts consisting of elephants, chariots, horses, and male and female servants. So just see our Krishna. Just see what Krishna does to satisfy his devotees. In the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, when Prithu Maharaj is performing his 100th horse sacrifice, Indra comes and steals away the horse in the guise of a sannyasi, of one in the renounced order. And Atri Muni and the brahmanas want to kill him. And Prithu Maharaj's son tries to kill Indra. Again and again, Indra dresses himself in this religious way to do something irreligious. And he's condemned and embarrassed and loses his power. And his envy and fearfulness of his position is revealed again and again. Because he has irreligious purposes, adopted something religious. Condemned. And here, Krishna is sanctioning it. He's a co-conspirator in it. Because Krishna is Bhakta Vatsalya. There is one verse in the 11th canto, in the 10th canto in the 11th chapter. Darshayan tadvidam tadvidam. Oops, darshayan tadvidam. That, and then atmano britya vatsyata, that Krishna displays his childhood pastimes in Vrindavan because he wants the devotees, specifically the devotees, to know that he enjoys serving his devotees, britya savyata, vatsyata. He wants to be known as one who is controlled by his devotees. The concept of God, the all-powerful one, who demands, if you don't follow my laws and surrender unto me, you cannot be happy, and bad things will happen to you. And if you do what I say, then you'll be happy, and all wealth, etc., will come to you. This is perhaps some concept of God, but it is not Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he doesn't want to be known in that way. He wants to be known not as a dictator, but he wants to be known as the beloved devotee of his devotees. So that is Brajalila. How Krishna comes under the control of his devotees continuously from the beginning of his pastimes to the end of his pastimes in Vrindavan. He's under the control of his devotees. When after the Trinavarta takes Krishna up into the sky, and then Trinavarta is killed. Perhaps, if Krishna allows, we'll tell that pastime in a little more detail later. But after that, Nanda Maharaj says that this place of Gokul is so dangerous for Krishna. First there was Putana, and then Shakatasura, and now this Trinavarta. We should not let him go outside anymore. We should keep him inside for his protection. And then inside, while Krishna was inside with Balaram and all the older gopis, while Krishna was inside, the gopis would say, "Krishna, Krishna, if you dance, we will give you a sweet. Or half a sweet." And Krishna would dance. He would dance and make all the movements of dancing, and he would move his feet to rhythm and make the sounds of a dance, ta 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 ta. And they would offer him a sweet, and they would clap, and Krishna would become encouraged by their clapping. And they would say, "Oh, Krishna, you're dancing so nice." They would make him dance, the all-powerful Supreme Lord. They would make him dance for a sweet. Are they making him dance for a sweet? Or are they making him dance by the power of their love? Also, when Krishna pulled the grinding mortar between the two trees, the Jamal Arjuna trees. What happened? Krishna was pulling it, the mortar, and it became stuck within the trees. And what happened? He was tied up by the ropes and the little rope that Mother Yasoda had used to tie her own hair, and the hair and the ropes of the ladies in the village, the hair ropes. And he pulled the trees down. Now, one thing amongst all the astonishing things of that pastime, but one of the astonishing things is he pulled the big, huge Arjun trees down with the mortar, but the rope didn't break. Because if you have a thin rope and you're pulling it between something, the rope breaks. The huge trees don't fall down. But because that rope was the affection of Mother Yashoda, and that's what was tying Krishna up, he could not release himself from that affection. Her affection had conquered him. And Krishna plays like a young boy in Braja, while he was inside also, the ladies, they would say, "Oh, Krishna, could you bring those shoes?" They wanted to see how strong Krishna was because he was a little boy. "Could you bring Nanda Maharaj's shoes for worship? Could you bring that wooden plank?" And Krishna would say, "Yes, of course." And he would carry the shoes upon his head and present them to Nanda Maharaj or his mother, or to the best of his ability, he would carry the wooden plank. And sometimes he would find things that were too heavy and he couldn't carry. He was being completely controlled by the love and the order of Nanda Maharaj and the older gopis. And then one day in this period, Mother Yashoda was feeding Krishna, and she wanted to see if any teeth were coming in his mouth, because he was still very young. So she opened up his mouth, and she saw not little teeth, but she saw the universe. So the same Krishna who was dancing for half a sweet has the universe in his mouth. And then later on that day, Nanda Maharaj asked, "Are you keeping Krishna inside as per my order?" And she replied, "Yes, I am, but really there's no use in me doing so." "Why?" "Because when I looked in his mouth, I saw the universe. And we're keeping him inside to protect him." And Nanda Maharaj thought and thought about this amazing thing. "Narayan Osam Ogunai," Gargacharya has said. "Narayan Osam Ogunai," that he's equal in qualities to Lord Narayan. And he says, "Okay, you can let him go outside and play." And then when outside, Krishna was so naughty to play, to reciprocate with the Brijbasi's love, he became the naughtiest, most clever child. So that the loving affection of the residents of Vrindavan would be increasing continuously. Again, completely controlled by their love. Again, if we can somehow, by the grace of the devotees, by the grace of Giriraj, by the grace of the dust of Braja, by the grace of the holy names of the Bhagavata, if we can somehow give ourselves to Krishna, we will not be the loser. Yeyitam mam prapadyante. The devotees give themselves to Krishna purely, fully, and don't want anything in return. And Krishna gives himself fully to the devotees. And this, again, is Braja. One day, when Krishna was a little older, because in Vrindavan, the cowherd men, they love the cows. They don't do it as a business, take care of the cows, but they love the cows. They have so much affection for the cows. The nature of the cows evokes their affection. And naturally, they are cowherd men, and they love the cows. So from a very early age, the youngest age, Krishna wanted to go out with Nanda Maharaj and herd the cows. And Mother Yasoda was in so much anxiety about that because he was so little. And yet he was so expert at herding them. So with Nanda Maharaj out there, sometimes he and Balaram would play at controlling the cows. And sometimes you see this in Braja too. These little children, they're like maybe this big. And they take some kind of a stick and they control. They make sounds. And the cows are completely obedient to them. So Krishna was able at the youngest age, just so little, to be with Nanda Maharaj, and he started herding the cows. And sometimes he and Balaram would take 5 cows off and make them move this way, and he would stop them by grabbing their horns. And Mother Yasoda was thinking, well, is this proper that we allow him to do this? He's so young, he's still practically drinking my milk, and we're allowing him in this dangerous situation. And they talked about it and talked about it and decided. But he loves so much these cows and calves. So let us give him charge of the calves who are little and innocent, and he can take them a short distance away and not be gone all day long like the cows. So they agreed. And in this way, this happened at Chatikara, when after they had left Gokul, when they were still in Chatikara, Krishna began to take out the calves with the boys, and it was just so much fun for them. And the calves, Krishna would massage their legs. He would massage their legs, and he would pet them. He would call them by their names. He would pet them like this. These calves are not ordinary calves, because Krishna, with his pink palms, which everyone, the whole universe, ultimately is after Krishna, that transcendental body of Krishna is touching the calves and scratching them and giving them pleasure, and the calves love Krishna so much. And Srila Jiva Goswami says he would take the head of the calves and place his head right against their head, and he would say nonsense things to them. Like, are you missing your mother? We'll arrange for you to go back to her immediately. And in this way, they would be enjoying. And when Kamsa, because this is the nature of enmity, that you can't tolerate the pleasure of another. And Kamsa was so envious and had so much enmity towards Krishna, that one day, while Krishna was herding the calves and giving the calves so much pleasure and enjoying so much himself, Kamsa was thinking, he was understanding that it is this boy, it is Krishna, who is the son of Vasudeva, who has been taken out of Mathura, and he is being kept safely in Vrindavan. So he began to think, how am I going to kill this Krishna? He was, again, understanding that it was Krishna who had to be killed. So he called for one of his spies and asked, who does Krishna love the most? Who is Krishna most affectionate towards? And the spy said, the calves. So he immediately called for a demon named Vatsasura. And Srila Jiva Goswami describes how Vatsasura made himself, he was very wicked-hearted, terrible-hearted. And therefore, he made himself like a drop of water in front of Kamsa. And Kamsa, who was like dirt, when he saw the affection of Vatsasura towards him, dissolved in the water of Vatsasura, because they were like-minded, wicked and wicked. So he said, my dear Vatsasura, I want you to take the form of a calf, even though his name is Vatsasura, which was obviously appropriate for him. And I want you to go and kill Krishna and Balaram. And he immediately said, no problem, Vatsasura. So he disguised himself as a calf. And he went to the outskirts of the other calves and he mingled amongst them. But his wickedness was apparent in his eyes. And the calves, by the sense of smell, could understand that this is not a calf, he's a demon. And they kept away from him. And Krishna went over to Balaram and said, oh, thou, oh, older brother, do you see? He looked in that way and pointed that way so that Vatsasura wouldn't notice. Do you see that calf over there? He wasn't with us this morning. And Balaram said, no. Look at his eyes. He's staring at the other calves and us with anger and hate-filled eyes. Krishna said, do you know what? Balaram said, no, what? I think he's a demon. Balaram said, I'll kill him. Krishna said, and Vatsasura was thinking, I'm mingling with the other calves, and I've been here for already a long time. They trust me. So he started moving a little bit closer in the grazing. And Krishna began to massage the legs of the calves. And he would move from one to the next, slowly moving towards Vatsasura. And Vatsasura was thinking, he trusts me. And Krishna was thinking, he trusts me. And then Balaram had said previously, but what will people say if we kill a calf? And Krishna said, I'll take care of that. So when he got to Vatsasura, as if he was going to massage his legs, he grabbed them and he began swinging him around faster and faster until Vatsasura could no longer maintain his false position as a calf. And he assumed his actual form as a demon. And then Krishna swung him and threw him into a tree. And he died. And all the fruits fell down from the tree. Because this is another characteristic, and the boys ate the fruits. This is another characteristic of Krishna. When he does one thing, he performs, and this comes out later, many, many things according to his desire occur. So the boys wanted to eat the fruits from the tree, and the demon had to be killed. And putting the two together, Vatsasura was killed. But this is all reciprocation. And all the boys, when they saw that the demon had been killed, they're thinking, well, Krishna is just so wonderful. Their hearts were just expanding with love and affection for Krishna. He's our friend. We go to the forest with him every day. He's ours, mamata. This is the special mood of Braja. He's ours, the affection of belongingness. He's not the transcendent God who's far away throwing down thunderbolts. He's not like that, and he doesn't want to be known in that way. He wants to be known as the as the lover of his devotees, who was conquered by his devotees, went after Krishna killed Kamsa, which is, of course, a wonderful story, but not, it's wonderful on one level to the residents of Vrindavan, because Kamsa was killed, but Krishna stayed there for some time. But when Krishna killed Kamsa, before that, right before the, he came in to the wrestling arena, with the, he and Balaram were carrying the tusks of the elephant upon their shoulders, this huge elephant, Kuvalayapita. And when it was time for the wrestling, they took the tusks and planted them right in the ground, right in front of Kamsa, and turned their back on Kamsa. What a hero. What a hero. But then, after Kamsa was killed, and perhaps we'll tell this pastime in a little detail later, perhaps, but when Kamsa was killed, he had tried to stop all the joyousness after Krishna had killed the wrestlers and Balaram had killed the wrestlers. And the bands were playing and everyone was joyous. And Kamsa had called out, stop this immediately. They should be killed and Nanda Maharaj should be killed and everyone should be killed and thrown in prison. Stop this immediately. And Krishna jumped up on the dais and threw him down. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes how, as Krishna threw him down, he assumed the weight of the universe and landed on him and killed him in that way. And also, he landed on something soft. He didn't have to hurt his knees or anything like that. But then everyone, and then Krishna dragged Kamsa around because he wanted, everyone was so terrified of Kamsa, and Kamsa was known to be invincible. So he dragged him around to show everyone, to prove to everyone that Kamsa was in fact dead. And no one had to repress their feelings of hatred, of hatred for him and their fear of him any longer. I heard His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj say that, give an example of this. And there was a story from his village that that one time there was a very, very heavy, cruel qazi who was in charge of the village. And then when the qazi's dog died, everyone came to the funeral. But when the qazi died, no one came because they weren't afraid of him anymore. So similarly, everyone was spontaneously so happy and dancing around, and the cowherd boys came down into the arena and they were dancing around and they started playing with Krishna and wrestling with Krishna, and Krishna, and they took Krishna, some of them took Krishna and threw him down on the ground. Krishna just fought with these huge wrestlers and killed them, and the cowherd boys were defeating Krishna and throwing him down on the ground. This is the inconceivable Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is darshyam tad vidam loka atmano britya vashyata, that he wants the devotees, specifically the devotees, to know darshyatam, that his pleasure is serving his devotees and being controlled by his devotees who have that kind of love. And in this way, the verse continues, that he gives the residents of Vrindavan uttama priti, the highest satisfaction. He is lila prasottama. He performs pastimes to give them the highest satisfaction, the most pleasure. I wanted to give one more example that's of Krishna's just breaking, like he did with Arjuna. He completely disregarded the principles of religion to serve his devotee. He, out with the verse The verse what is the verse where whatever great men do? Yad yad acharati sreshtas. He takes that verse and shreds it and throws it away for his dearest devotees. When Bulbasura, who was Krishna's own son, had kidnapped so many princesses and he had stolen, he was doing terrible things. He stole the earrings of Aditi, and Indra had asked him to rid the world, to get the earrings back. Krishna went with Satyabhauma on Garuda, and there's pastimes reasons why he took Satyabhauma. But what, to kill the most powerful demon, do you take your wife along as a casual observer? To fight a war where hundreds of powerful enemies are going to attack you, do you take your wife along? No. But Krishna does these things so casually to give pleasure to his devotees. So ultimately, he kills Bulbasura. And then, very soon after that, who is his own son, he kills him. Then very soon after that, there is a pastime where Usha brings Aniruddha into the home of Banasura. And Banasura is the friend of Bulbasura. They live in nearby cities, Sunitapur and Jyotishapur. And Bulbasura, who is Krishna's son, by the bad association of Banasura, becomes a demon, becomes inimical to the Supreme Lord in the core of his heart. So there's Banasura, who is living in his Sonitapur city, which is in Assam at this time, and he is there controlling his kingdom, and his daughter, Usha, by the power of Chitralekha, brings Aniruddha to be her lover in her private palace. Now, Aniruddha is living there with Banasura's daughter. And when Banasura finds out, in his own house, Aniruddha is living there with his daughter, carrying on a relationship. And Banasura finds out. And naturally, Banasura, being the father of Usha, is furious. And he comes in there with his guards, and he sees Aniruddha just sitting there, wearing a garland that Bulbasura's daughter had given him, covered with kumkum from them embracing, and he's just sitting there enjoying himself. And Bulbasura is furious. And he calls his guards to attack immediately, and Aniruddha stands up, and he picks up his club, and he kills everyone. But Bulbasura, still furious, captures him with his mystic powers. So, whose side is Krishna going to take in this one? His son has done something by natural moral standards, is improper, and the father is upset. But Krishna and Balaram and the entire Yadu dynasty bring their armies together, and they attack Bulbasura. And gradually, everyone is killed. And Bulbasura is a devotee of Lord Shiva, and he calls Lord Shiva to help him. And Krishna, the weapons of each other, they're fighting. And finally, to save the life of Bulbasura, Lord Shiva comes and offers prayers and begs for the life spare Banasura. Krishna has cut off all but four of his 1,000 arms. And Krishna spares his life. He's the one who has poisoned Bulbasaur, his own son, and he kills his own son and spares the life of Banasura, who is just acting on one level like any normal father would be upset in such a circumstance. He spares his life because his great devotee, Krishna's great devotee, Lord Shiva, has intervened. And also because Banasura is the son, is a relative, a descendant of Prahlad Maharaj. And he's promised to never kill any of the descendants of Prahlad Maharaj. So for his devotees, Krishna is willing, ready, able, and loves to do anything to protect them. And for their pleasure, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. So bringing this into the practical level, and why it's so important for us to hear about the qualities of Krishna, and something that all devotees who serve experience, is that they will experience, if you do sankirtan, if you do any service regularly for Krishna, if you try to please Krishna, you'll feel the touch of Krishna's protective hand upon you, intervening in your life, that he does something. Maybe it's subtle, but he lets you know that he's there and that he's protecting, even insignificant little fellows, everyone, because Krishna can relate to everyone. Ishvara sava bhutanam riddhise arjuna tishe. He is in everyone's heart. He is with everyone at all times. So it's not only the big devotees that he has a personal relationship, it's with everyone. So we have our experiences of this, and yet we need to hear, to know, yes, that this is real. This is Shastra. And not only that, it is Krishna's very nature. And this is what he wants all the devotees to know. That he is mritya vashyata. His pleasure is serving and caring for the devotees. He becomes under their control. So that is, he's doing that with Arjuna, and that is what we see in this pastime where Krishna does something and he takes a small part, but he's doing everything behind the scenes. It is Krishna who is doing everything to teach us. Okay, thank you very much. We'll end here. Vritya Vashyata Darshanam Darshanam Tadvidam. He wants to know, he wants the different categories of devotees to know that he, Atmano, the Supreme Lord, is Britya Vashyata. That his pleasure is to serve the devotees. And it's in the 11th chapter of the 10th canto, maybe the 8th or 9th verse or so. There's unlimited pastimes of stories in the Mahabharata, the Bhagavatam, how Krishna just does anything for his devotees. Sanayor Ubayor Madhyes, that he asks Arjuna, he becomes the chariot driver, the servant. The Supreme Lord becomes the servant of Arjuna, his devotee. Drive my chariot. Driver, drive my chariot in the midst of the two armies. The servant, not even a qualifier, the driver is not so qualified. Krishna takes any position to serve and please his devotees. Okay, we'll end here. If it's easy to answer, I'll do it, because we have just a minute or two left. Categories of the energy of Krishna, and had Abhimanyu, and then, yes. How do we understand If we can understand what the internal potency is like, if we can understand what Krishna's mind is exactly like, then we will understand everything. And we can't understand Krishna. We offer our respects to these pastimes and understand that Krishna's Leela Shakti, based on acting to please Krishna, does the most amazing and wonderful things. And this is so wonderful. He does the inconceivable so easily. So wonderful. But Arjuna is Krishna's eternal associate. He's not just an ordinary old jiva. He's Krishna's eternal associate. Nara Narayan, he's Rishi. He's combined together. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.